The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Because of the first lesson and this earliest appearance of the Trinity, we're going to begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My first experience with biblical hospitality was as a 15-year-old at my cousin's farm during silo filling time. That's the end of August. Chopping corn required a lot of help, because we didn't have a self-propelled chopper that could chop two or four rows at once. We had a single row chopper, which was pulled behind the tractor. So since we didn't want to drive down corn with the tractor and render it useless, we would cut that by hand, cut like three rows or four rows so that the tractor could pull the chopper. Well, that meant that filling the silo took a lot of manpower, and consequently, my two uncles and the son-in-law of one of them pooled their manpower, and we worked each of the three farms in turn. In August, there was no air conditioning, and it was lunchtime. Since we were working hard, that meant a hot meal of meat and potatoes at lunchtime, with about a dozen of us around the kitchen table, half of us shirtless, and my cousin's husband at the head of the table. It was not a formal occasion. The meal began, and we all took first helpings. I finished mine, and I looked up to see where the potatoes were to get another helping. But before I could say anything, my cousin's husband, Warren, said, "George needs the potatoes." And so it was every time I looked up to ask for something else, before I could get the words out of my mouth, he would say, "George needs the meat." And he did this with everyone who was at the table. I had never experienced that kind of attention from a host. In my family, you were on your own, and if you didn't eat fast, my father would eat it all, which was the legacy of being one of 12. But Warren was focused on his guests and treated us, even the hired help, as if we were the most important people at the table. Nothing about the meal was fancy, but I will never forget it because of that focus on the guests and their needs. This is the kind of hospitality that Abraham provided to his guests. Abraham and Sarah were nomads who lived on the edge of the desert. In that isolated and barren environment, travelers were welcomed into the tents of whomever had water and food. The text does not say that the visitors were travelers, just that Abraham was seated at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day and noticed three men standing near him. But it does say that the visitors were an appearance of the Lord, and for Christians, this is taken as the first reference in Scripture to the Trinity. The story of Abraham and Sarah's hospitality to the Lord is paired in our lectionary with the story of Mary and Martha welcoming Jesus into their home. Martha's attempt to triangulate Jesus into her relationship with her sister results in an important declaration. "There is only one thing needed," Jesus says, and it's attention to Jesus and to his teaching, That's the better part to which he refers. Or to put it in the language of our second lesson today, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. The first five verses of today's second lesson are an early hymn to Christ. They paint an image of the cosmic Christ who has reconciled everything, including us, to God through his death on the cross. And it's into his death and resurrection that we are baptized and through which we belong to Christ. This text is evoked in the proper preface that we use before communion in the Christmas season. That beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. The God made visible, Jesus, is the one thing needed. Attention to Jesus and hospitality are inseparable. In another place, Jesus says to his disciples, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me." It's never something we can take for granted that we are welcoming and hospitable. No matter how welcoming we think we are, there are always new challenges ahead. Our nation's current reluctance to accept immigrants is an illustration of the base human tendency to recoil from the other, from those whom we perceive to be different from ourselves. And it's precisely that reaction that Jesus is teaching against when he says that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, and he doesn't mean the person next door only. We heard it last week in the gospel story of the Good Samaritan. We have it again this week in both the first lesson and the gospel. Hospitality and biblical hospitality is making strangers feel at home, feel welcomed and accepted as they are. It means including them as part of the community gathered around Jesus Christ. One of my Friday disciplines is about once a month visiting my aunts who live at the Souderton Mennonite home. I have four aunts and one uncle who live in that one place. It makes visiting them very easy. You know, they're all in one place. From one in particular, I hear about the goings-on in their local Mennonite churches. And last week, I heard about the fallout from their church assembly in Kansas City a few weeks ago. It seems that a resolution was passed apologizing for their exclusion of LGBTQ people and now promising inclusive actions going forward. As a result, several area Mennonite congregations are considering leaving the denomination. My 86-year-old aunt's reaction to this: what do they think? That these people are not our neighbors? Jesus teaches us to consider everyone as our neighbors and to love our neighbors as ourselves. I don't understand or approve that lifestyle, but I know that Jesus wants me to welcome and accept people as they are. Jesus' teachings, which are continuous with those of the Hebrew Scriptures, create a culture which is always in at least some opposition to the one in which we live most of our lives. I want to say that again because it's too easy for us to forget it. Jesus' teachings create a culture which is always in at least some opposition to the one in which we live most of our lives. We live most of our lives in one reality, but our baptism grafts us into a different one. My favorite theologian, Robert Jensen, said a long time ago that the church is a culture. We have our own culture that is different from the one in which we live. And it's another way of saying that we who are Christians live in this world, but we're not quite of it. Most of the time, that means that Jesus' teachings will stretch us out of our comfort zone to be more welcoming, more hospitable, more acceptable of the other, of people we perceive as different from us. We will never be finished with this project because Jesus' call to follow him will continue to stretch us, to pull us toward him. Baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection, we are joined to the call and promise in our second lesson. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, who calls us to make visible in our lives the God whom we cannot see. Attention to Jesus and hospitality are inseparable. It's never something we can take for granted that we are welcoming and hospitable. No matter how welcoming we think we are, there are always new challenges ahead. But we have Jesus' promise to be with us, to guide us, and to restore us when we fail. Amen.